We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
What a one! Welcome back into Show and Vern. This is the final hour of Show and Vern. Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at CaseyLend.com. Go check them out. Wonderful sponsors. Thank you so much. I am Ron, the Show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier, who is, I think, at a settled place. He's eating the chips, his favorite bag of chips. And Steve Serta, who is, right now, I feel like we shouldn't bring it up because he's pitching the equivalent of a no-hitter and how awful the show is has been for him. And I feel like if we mention anything,
no-hitters Serta, are good.
Serta is going to turn it around or something. So we should just not say anything. So Serta
don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, continues this day he's having.
Or just leave him alone then. He's on the other side of the bench.
I think if we all did this on three, we would say, listen up, turn your mic on, sweet buns. If we were all on three, if I say one, two, three, the biggest problem, the biggest issue that the Chiefs have on this team, I bet we'd say the same thing. One, two, three. Dustin Colquitt. Yeah. What'd you say?
You say Dustin Colquitt?
I said cornerback.
You said Dustin Colquitt.
No, I didn't.
Did you say Dustin
Colquitt? He didn't even participate.
No, I didn't.
Those are good chips.
Like I said, he's continuing.
I was reading about Chris Jones.
As we both said, cornerback.
I swear I heard someone say Dustin Colquitt.
I did.
I'm going to go Breland Speaks.
Cornerback is the number one thing. And I have been steadfast on this, Joshua. I've been steadfast on the fact that they are going to bring in another person who will be in the top three. A person who will get big time play, from Norman to Patrick Peterson by the end of this year, by the middle. Actually, I said before training camp, they are going to bring, before the season starts, they're going to bring another corner in. I felt like yesterday you had it hit you about Tyreek Hill's potential to maybe miss all season because of the commissioner's exempt list. I feel like I've had it hit me that this cornerback situation may be what it is. They may not try to make a major. Now, I think they are going to bring somebody in to replace the Keith Reesers of the world. But I might have to come to the realization that, nope, they're going to run with this group. And, man, I don't know about Chiefs fans out there that have watched this team and especially watched this team during the Andy Reid regime, Vern. But I just don't know how you can look at this and then have the confidence that they, through scouting, through drafting, through their evaluations, they've done well. Because the number one position that this organization has struggled with under the Andy Reid regime, I'd say is corner. Their evaluating process, they felt like David Amerson could be a reliable starter in the National Football League this year. David Amerson got picked up earlier this year during OTAs and didn't make it out of OTAs to whoever the hell he went to. Steven Nelson, they thought he could be an outside starting corner. Even Kendall Fuller, I think the jury is obviously still out, but they thought he could replace Marcus Peters. Now, a lot of it does have to do with Emmett Thomas and the defense, but still, this is something that they have misevaluated.
What does it have to do with Emmett Thomas?
I mean, it's coaching. Hey, stuff.
It's just left and right. You take this gentleman out.
It looked like he took a completely different turn from when he was in Washington. Like, I just think
who's he taking his cues from?
Emmett Thomas.
Emmett taking his cues from last year? Bob Sutton.
Emmett feels like a guy who
head of the snake, Ron.
He feels like a guy who goes rogue, be honest with you.
I feel like Bob gave Emmett a little too much credit for being a Hall of Famer, so
yes,
he kind of let him
definitely agree with that, Steve. Slow down, Steve. You're adding to the show. I'm just saying, man, I think any Chiefs fans are honest with themselves and say, man, that's the one position, man, they have appeared to struggle in. They've appeared to struggle in bringing in corners to figure that out. And I don't know about you, that's my biggest thing. If they are going to leave it here and not going in any other different direction, like, how confident are you with their history about their evaluation and what kind of corners they think are good corners that they don't add anything else? Vern, I was hoping that they would bring in, as a Chiefs fan, you should hope they bring in somebody who is evaluation proof. Somebody who, nah, man, it don't matter who, it really don't matter.
Yeah, but Ron, it's a completely different team now. The one identifying the talent is completely different. Right? Brett Veach has even acknowledged what kind of, if any, say that Steve Spagnuolo had in this year's draft and the guys that they brought in as far as Tyrann Mathieu and free agency. Look, Steve Spagnuolo's fingerprints are all over this defense. Steve Spagnuolo, as I've told you, and as I would imagine someone you respect even more, Pete Sweeney, has told you. I'm listening to Pete this weekend on with Binkley explaining this organization likes their cornerback class. And I don't think it's fair to say, well, it's the same one that looked at Dave Amerson and Lando and got rid of Marcus Peters. No, Steve Spagnuolo is a secondary guy. And if he is saying that Kendall Fuller can be one of the best corners in the game and the best slot corner in the game, that we're now going to get a prove-it season from him, a prove-it season from Bashaud Breeland, who's on a one-year deal, and a full 16 games of Charvarius Ward under the tutelage of Steve Spagnuolo. Man, I just think it's as simple as they like these guys, and it seems like we like this coaching staff. So you know what? I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Right, and you're doing it because of the coaching staff, right?
Correct.
And I'm saying to you, like, this is an all-in
year. Harris is gone now.
All-in year, as they've put it. They've got plenty of cash to go and make a move here. I'm just saying, all right, the thought is, do you believe that Spags has a really, really loud voice in terms of who they're bringing in?
Yes. Yes,
like
I do.
Really loud voice over Brett, over everybody but Andy.
He's riding shotgun with Brett on these decisions. Just like Andy rides shotgun with Brett on Andy's driving every offensive decision, and Andy has told Brett, you got to run it by Spags.
Because I guess I would feel a little bit more comfortable if you would know that he has a louder voice in this in terms of the players bringing in.
Isn't that why you feel more confident in this defense, period, in 2019? Because the voice, the experience, and what appears to be the trust that Andy Reid has put in the hands of Steve Spagnuolo.
The coaching staff, yes, on the field. But still, I think the staff, though, in terms of evaluating players, Brett Veach and his staff is still, I think, the major ones who make the decisions on what type of players they're going to bring in.
See, I think Frank, I think Tyrann, I think Darren Lee, I think a lot of this goes back to the coaching staff and Steve Spagnuolo, given, you know, Juan Thornhill. I think that was a Spags pick. It was an Andy pick, more than it was a Brett Veach pick. I think a majority of these moves made this offseason, a line can be drawn back to Steve Spagnuolo.
Maybe to
which
fit
to
a
me,
certain defense, but I just think those guys are the ones doing most of the work on the players that they want to bring in, and that still makes me nervous because that's still the group of guys who thought some of these corners
but see,
could
to,
work.
To me, Amerson and Skandrick, that's on Veach and Reed. You add in a defensive mind because we've all acknowledged Andy is not a defensive mind. Andy's not the guy that I want. Now, he's better than Bob, as we saw later on in the season when Andy had to say, all right, Bob, you got to sit Lando down and put Charvarius Ward in these games. Look, I trust Andy more than Bob, but I trust Spags more than Andy, and I think Reed has given Spagnuolo that kind of leeway when it comes to the decision-making on the defensive side of the ball.
That's right. From the 8160 listener number, send Ron the show back tonight because he is a KC hater, period. And Chiefs will never be good enough. Damn, give them a chance with a new defensive scheme. Damn. I like how you put two dams in there.
That person's not good enough as a listener.
What are you two doing?
What did I do?
What'd you even read that for?
I like to give people the voice on both sides. I'm not just one to just
You knew read. That was going to bring in Steve.
I didn't know it was. You never know. Steve's unpredictable. I don't like to just read stuff about people who blow smoke up my ass. Even if I don't want that smoke.
Can I bring you back real quick? I got a story I think you're going to love.
If it's you saying it, of course I'm going to love it.
You're Mr. Nasty, right? Mr. Nasty, Mr. Black Knight, all the other made-up nicknames you've given yourself.
So, Mr. Still, your girl's more unattractive friend.
I saw this on Twitter, a picture of Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, former Iowa Hawkeye.
Beautiful man. Beautiful,
very
beautiful
handsome
man.
You beautiful see him man. On breaking down Chiefs games.
Yeah, he's also
at Chiefs.com.
Calls Big Ten baseball, if
you're
you didn't
damn right.
know that.
Two-way athlete, Danan Hughes. Now, I see this gentleman who looks very much like I did in high school, named Danan Wenger.
How confident do you feel about that last name pronunciation?
as confident as it sounded coming out.
All right.
So it's a picture of Danan Hughes in his Iowa uniform and this white kid. And the tweet reads as follows. One is a 6'2 wide receiver with 2,000 yards and one of the best Hawkeye football players ever. The other is a scrawny 5'6 kid that was named after Danan Hughes because Danan Hughes caught the first touchdown of the 1992 season when his parents got pregnant. So this young man reached out to Danan Hughes to let him know, hey, I'm named after you because my parents were getting busy while you were scoring a touchdown for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
What year is that, 92?
1992.
Well, what a year that was for Hayden Fry and the Hawkeyes as well. That's a hell of a thing.
I feel like that should now be your life goal. Like, we're never cracking the top 10. We've acknowledged that. I think your goal in this show, now
doesn't
whatever
it feel
you,
so much better now that we can acknowledge that
it
and
does.
Get that off?
It's helpful. Yeah. Now, whatever you end up doing further on in your life, you can have whatever goals you want for that. But for this show, I think your goal is that someone is impregnated while listening to the show and thus names their son after you.
I don't even take impregnated. I just somebody getting busy to the tones of me. That's not bad. That's amazing, by the way. Like, actually, I really love that thought. Someone getting busy to the tones of me.
Because Danan Hughes.
Turn around.
Turn around.
I feel like that would be turn around after I'm making a great point.
This got weird.
Yeah, it sure did. I was about to make the point
it's
that
a
I
position
think,
change. What do you mean it got weird?
Danan Hughes isn't
I don't
know nasty.
About a position change.
But if Danan Hughes wanted to claim that he is the true Mr. Nasty of Kansas City, this
well,
furthers his
well,
point than anything that
you've
second. Said.
No, just the hell that. The hell with that.
Danan has some random
There's
kid reaching
Mr.
out
nasty.
To him saying, I'm named after you because my parents were getting after it. I was created while you were scoring a touchdown
a
in the
of,
1992
I've had
season.
A lot of people reach out to me about my nastiness. I just choose not to bring them up. Vern, the thing that caught my gander when you told that story is I don't know how someone's able to do that. I don't know how, like, if this is really my team, if I was really an Iowa Hawkeye fan, if I'm really, like, I am a real Kansas Jayhawk fan, I can't get nasty during games. You've watched me watch games. You know how hard yeah. I'm into it. I play these games.
You're very hard into it.
Mrs. Show knows that, you know, I'm not coming to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you can.
I'm a big Michigan fan, and I can get it on during
the
Michigan game.
Like if.
I could get turned on if they're up big in the
and
second half.
And Katie came in and you're like, yeah. Let's go.
Like the next time.
Turn
if,
around.
If Michigan ever beats Ohio State and it's, you know, a good 20-point spread in the fourth quarter, let's get down to the basement, turn the game on and see what happens.
I mean, I could get it going before the ball game, halftime, after it.
So Kansas.
What did you say?
I almost said Kentucky. So Kansas, Mizzou, they play one another, and Kansas is winning by 40 in the second half. You can't break her off something proper.
I got to hang in there. I got to hang in there and focus all the way through. Because I still pace during those time frames.
I feel like that's somewhat unbecoming of a nasty gentleman like you claim to
now,
be.
Now, I would really rope the cattle later, but...
A few questions coming in on the Protein House. Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. Hey, Ron, does watching porn while listening count?
If it leads to you getting nasty, sure.
That was listener five.
I mean, doesn't it always? Who's just sitting around watching porn?
From the 827, show, you know damn well people got it on during your night shows.
But no one told me. I'd cry on set. Right
also.
Here, like it's a set. From the 913, listener 34, I've got lunchtime blow while listening to Ronnie and the crew. God bless
lunchtime.
You.
What?
Nice.
From the 816, your old night show promos used to make me want to get it on.
Good Lord, man. Uncle Al did? How about that? Now, that's the next one.
Hey, bottom line, congratulations, Dayton Hughes. You are as nasty, if not more nasty, than Ron the Show Hughes.
He's got nasty tendencies. Because some people... No, I don't think he's got nasty tendencies. I think those parents...
He gives off a nasty vibe then.
Does he?
He must. If he's getting people in the mood like that, congratulations, Dayton Hughes. Second time he's come up on this show, and they're both filthy.
What was the other time?
First time he was in the most attractive threesome in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs.
He was breaking people off, man. I know he was.
Because it was him, Joe Montana, and Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen, yeah.
That was a pretty dynamic threesome.
What a group. They didn't finish with the lead in my book, but yeah, pretty
yeah, I think
group.
They finished second behind the Priest Holmes.
Yeah,
with
Tony
Johnny
Gonzalez.
Morton.
Oh. Yeah, Priest, Tony Gonzalez, Trent Green.
Quick reminder, guys, Christmas in July, July 8th through the 12th here on 610 Sports Radio. Every segment, every day from the 8th through the 12th, be listening for giveaways, movie tickets on Monday, Royals and Sporting and K-State tickets on Tuesday. It all culminates with Friday, your chance to register to win a trip for two to see Kansas City play Chicago Week 16. Two tickets to the game, airfare and hotel. Christmas in July, the 8th through the 12th right here on 610 Sports Radio.
A question for you, because I'm thinking this last night while I'm watching Homer Bailey throw 121 pitches. The first time no one's thrown that many pitches since James Shields did when he was here in the 14th season. I'm watching this, and the first thing I thought was, man, I want to see Brad Keller be in these situations. I want to see Brad Keller in a space where he has to do bulldog tendencies, front of the rotation, like because he's got the look, the body, and everything. Like, I want to see him in a position. Oh, it's 7-0, eighth inning. You're 115 pitches. Finish this thing off. Be the bulldog. Save the bullpen another couple of two innings in a long season. I think that's what this season has been about, to see if he is able to show us front of the rotation, leader, ace, type of quality stuff, and not just in his pitches, but in his actions and things that he does. Can he make tough starts? In your opinion, you watch more games. Probably only Cody watches more games than you do here. Do you feel like Brad Keller has reached that place? Do you feel like Brad Keller has hit the space of what you were wanting to look for to get out of him thus far?
Yes. To answer that, where we are today, the 19th of June, he's done everything I could have wanted. He's faced adversity, right? He was struggling with walks over the first 2 months of the season. He has eradicated that issue and done so without needing a stint on the IL, any sort of being removed from the rotation. Now, the ultimate test to truly be that bulldog that you talk about, it has to be 30-some-odd starts over the course of a season, never making it to the IL. That's what James Shields, that's what Jeremy Guthrie, that's what the true bulldogs that we know here in Kansas City have done in the past.
But right now, Brad Keller's on pace for more than 206 innings. He's on pace for about 32 to 34 starts, a sub-4 ERA, which is better than a quality start every time you take the hill. He's averaging more than 6 1/3 innings. The walks are starting to come down. The strikeouts have been fairly consistent for the better part of the season. Look, I haven't seen Brad Keller look like a guy that's going to be, here you get the ball in game one, or here you get the ball in game two. But he certainly looks like a guy where if I have to give him game three or game four of my playoff series, I feel comfortable doing that because he's at least going to keep me in a game. And as we all remember here in Kansas City, it's not necessarily about having star after star after star in the rotation. You need a Jason Vargas. You need a Jeremy Guthrie, a guy that you hand the ball to and the manager can take a nap for 5 innings because you know he's going to get you at least into the sixth, if not through 6 innings. Keller's shown me thus far he can do just that. And that to me is a win on the season.
So what were you looking forward to him? Because my expectation was
just consistency. Like,
okay, not to look like anything. You weren't thinking, let me see if he looks like an ace coming in. Because you said Jeremy Guthrie. Like, obviously, I think you take Jeremy Guthrie. God, Binkley, stop being nasty. I think you take Jeremy Guthrie. But I'd almost feel disappointed if Brad Keller, because I think Brad Keller has the stuff.
But Brad Keller's not a guy that you developed. You picked him up in the Rule 5.
Yeah,
he's a guy that
right,
you feel comfortable giving the ball to in a playoff series. That is an all-time win. Jay Binkley texted and says, I get nasty listening to your show. From the 816, nice. No one has ever gotten busy to you, Ron. I have, however, gotten it on with the wife while Vern was on in the background after a Royals game.
Yeah, folks, that's not true. People have texted in and said they've gotten busy. So, busy that.
Listener 34, hey guys, I think hashtag turnaround is going to become a thing.
Newsflash. Speaking of Seattle.
Curtis Newsflash.
That's Seattle.
No one knows what you just did. It's not funny.
I just wanted to be.
Inside jokes do not work.
Between me and my bro. Me and my bro. Surprise you, huh?
I did not.
That's not what you think, huh?
Nope, that does. Whatever. We can't acknowledge any of this. Serta,
for the win.
Say something.
I keep trying. You just kept talking.
Right?
For the Win put out an article labeled 7 blockbuster trades we'd like to see before the 2019 season. One of those trades, Leonard Fournette to the Chiefs for a 2020 third round pick and a conditional 2021 fourth round pick.
Mm.
I then commented on the article on my Twitter account at Steven Serta,
my God,
saying how sports horny it made me. Chiefs fans yet again attacked me.
Jesus.
Because they think Damian Williams is the greatest running back who's ever lived.
And, of course, Steve brings this up because he prefers, if you have a sports take and you want to interact with him, friend him on Facebook. Instead of Twitter, he is looking for Facebook friends. If you would reach out to Steven Serta, that's with a PH.
Find him on Facebook.
And he gets so mad.
I don't use it.
Like, he's surprised that he would put out a tweet. And someone would welcome to the job.
I didn't even say Damian Williams sucks. I just said, ooh,
everyone
sports
knows
horny.
That you believe Damian Williams sucks.
I haven't even worked with Ron for a year now, and I know I no longer complain about backlash I get. You've worked with Ron for so long, you can't complain about backlash you get.
I take backlash from things that you've said for years.
Right.
And you just laugh. Just throw grenades from whatever spot you're in. Ron said it.
Listener 827, hey, show your Denny Matthews voice. We'll get the panties dropping.
Well, fine, I'll do this next tease in the Denny Matthews voice. All one on the outside. You know, we talked about this during the break, Vern. Jumping in, 2-2. We talked about this in the break, Vern. I kind of want to bring this conversation to the air. Vern has a thought about, I'd say, probably the number one sports issue that the new mayor, Quentin Lewis, congratulations to Quentin Lucas, the number one issue he's going to have to face. Aw, damn.
Joe and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in final segment. Yeah, of Show and Vern today. Many thanks to Cody Tapp, who joined us, and you for sitting through this. I don't know if you've liked it or you haven't, but I'm sure you reacted. Remember, coming up on The Drive, as they follow us with Carrington Harrison and Sean Levine and Brandon Kiley, your chance to win at 4 o'clock. I'm sorry, at 5 o'clock each day this week, your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Toy Story 4. Remember, that is at 5 o'clock on The Drive coming up behind us.
From the 816, me and my wife make amateur porn. Do you want me to put it on your show and your website? A gentleman says he'll give us the link if we want to use it.
Yeah, it's a hard pass.
Again, find Serta on Facebook, and that's where you reach out if you want to get to Show and Vern.
Now follow me on Twitter. I don't use Facebook. That's dumb. I don't need you invading my personal life.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's got a link that he needs to send us.
Send you a sexual link.
Right.
And him and his wife make amateur porn. It could be something good for you to take a look at.
Could be good for the show.
It really could be.
Show's DMs are open.
Content. I might have to do a thing on these DMs, though. No, man, I want the people to come to me. Just don't send me sexual stuff. I mostly don't want that.
Well, you'll be the judge. Take a look. Take a gander, man.
You would say. You know I'm nasty.
Yeah, see what it looks like.
I'll be in there.
So again, at Ronnie H. Show on Twitter, RONNIEH Show on Twitter.
Pick this up from the break. Pick this up. We talked about this 2 breaks ago. The stuff about the stadium, Quentin Lucas, who just won the mayor's race, and you had some thoughts about the
downtown. I don't know if it's because we're in sports radio, so whenever there's a story, we have to make it about sports. I don't think that's normally our show. I don't think we bend over backwards to make things about sports. And yet, with the new mayor-elect, Quentin Lucas, who doesn't remember who Ron is, right, are we now on the same page on that? If you don't remember the story, Ron ran into the mayor-elect recently at a restaurant, and the mayor-elect pretended to know Ron, and Cho really feels like it was an authentic, hey, how have you been, rather than a, hey, I'm going to pretend to know you, please cast your vote for me.
Yeah, obviously it was, and I want to, real quick, answer to a fantastic tweet. Text to the text line from the 816. No listener number. How can they give tickets away when they won't be on at 5? You jackwagon. That is completely true.
Yeah.
Check that on the Toy Story 4 tickets at 5. I don't know when they're giving those out. Maybe they'll give them out earlier. I'm hoping they will. But you're right. Cody taps on at 4:30. So there is no way that the drive will be on at 4:05.
Kind of feel like I don't want to do it because I'm not prepared, but I almost feel like I should just drive this home for the final 20 minutes.
God, that was bad, man.
I mean, we know that Serta's got a perfecto going, and you're over here making just amazing catches at the wall to help protect the perfecto.
I really am.
Dwayne Wise at the wall to save Mark Burley's perfect game.
Good call.
The point with Quentin Lucas is sports fans, media members, all this talk, Ron, for all this talk that you want to surround a possible downtown home for the Royals and putting a roof on Arrowhead, and this is one of the big things on the plate of Quentin Lucas, man. Even if he gets, 2 terms? Even if he's here 8 years as the mayor of Kansas City, I don't think the stadium, Arrowhead or a downtown stadium, will ever come across his desk. There are so many other more pressing things that face this mayor-elect than moving Kauffman, which is fine right now, or building a new Arrowhead, which again is fine right now. Man, you need a new airport, and you need that to get done on time. Man, when I listened to Quentin Lucas on with The Drive earlier this week, he didn't sound like the airport was going to be done by the NFL draft. It needs to be done by the NFL draft. That needs to be a focus. Expanding the streetcar, to me, that should be a focus. Fixing these damn jails, taking care of the homicide rate in the city, the road repair, clearing off the roads in the winter. To me, there's so much more that lies ahead for this mayor that although we get bogged down in our little sports world, man, this stadium issue I don't think is pressing whatsoever. And over the next 8 years, I hope it goes across his desk because that means he's knocking a lot of these issues out of the park. I just don't see him able to focus on what really matters and then create something with a new ballpark.
And see, the reason why I disagree upon them those things being behind or those things being completely ahead of stadiums is because obviously those are things that need to be getting his focus and will. But I don't just incorporate that it is just a stadium. I don't think it just means just a stadium. I think what it does mean is something that should be at the forefront of things, and that is progressing the city. I think that's what that means. Just like with the airport, just like with the streetcar, public transit, I think those things mean progressing the city. And I think one of the number one things, because I believe this is what happened in the time frame that Sly James was the mayor, with a lot of things that occurred, one of the number one things that Quentin Lucas wants to do with Kansas City is, as I believe, take Kansas City to another tier and take Kansas City to a place where they are viewed and progressive and viewed in another place. And I think those actions of expanding and making downtown bigger and bringing more money to downtown and having your downtown look like another change from when it did when you added Power and Light and the Sprint Center, how that took off. I think bringing a downtown stadium like that does that, and also bringing in and redoing the area where Arrowhead is and putting a roof on Arrowhead and putting things around Arrowhead so you can get in huge events. Not just events for like 3 days like the draft, but real big events that stay and people wanting to come in and more people wanting to move in, just like I felt like more people wanted to move in once Kansas City's downtown looked different. So I don't think me personally building stadiums is just to be building a stadium. I think it is a way of progressing, and I think that's why that goes up there with those things.
It's a gigantic undertaking. It's a gigantic project that's to me, takes a back seat to the airport, to the homicide rate. There's just so much on the desk. That is probably the least pressing of all of them. I hope he has time to get to it. I just can't
pressing
foresee him getting to it.
Pressing if you look at it just from the standpoint of the stadium. I think it is pressing when you look at it from the standpoint of this is the progression and could be one of the biggest tools of us progressing our city and could be one of the biggest tools for our city to get more population and to have more money coming into to this city and into the downtown. So that's why I don't think it's just building facilities.
Mayor-elect Lucas was on the KC Bobcast, Fesco's podcast on the 435 network, and great conversation. Check it out again, 610sports.com, radio.com app, the 435 podcast network. Here's what he had to say about the downtown baseball.
It needs to be a conversation, I think, about downtown baseball, you know, with a few qualifiers of how kind of the world has changed now. We're going to have to look at a funding model that is not just, you know, a sales tax in one county, mm-hmm. right? We can't do that anymore. I'd love to see the bi-state tax come back. You know, for that, I know the Chiefs and Royals tried it in 04. I believe that was unsuccessful. Then they did the county tax 2 years later. But, you know, I think that's one. I think what I'd like to see is we need a little more commercial office development downtown, too. I'd like to see another tower or two and big ones that actually match and change our skyline, because we need to continue to build jobs down there. You still need it to have a focus. But I would say it's kind of those two areas. You know, we've done a lot in building residential downtown, which mm-hmm. is a good thing, and sure. giving us walkability. Just imagine the change you will get with a baseball game. I mean, I was born in 1984. And so,
you remember 1985 like it was yesterday, right?
So almost my entire life, the Royals have been terrible, right? Like, I came of age knowing Buck Knight back when, like, it was really close to that. And, right, going to a Royals date because it was the cheapest possible date. And this was cheaper than the movies, right? And so the amazing thing even then, though, was that even if you got 9, 10, 12,000 people sometimes at the stadium, a terrible night, imagine all that downtown every summer night, right? Or a lot of summer nights. I mean, it's just this amazing change. I think we need to do it. Frankly, baseball has kept some downtowns alive, St. Louis.
Sure.
Right? And so that's...
Without baseball, that's a ghost town. It's done.
It's nothing.
It's done.
Right.
History gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's a train stop, you know, and then everybody else is in Clayton.
Right.
I mean, it is just something. So I think that's the next thing we need to do. We need to talk about it in a bi-state way.
Again, check out the entire conversation at the 435 Network, the radio.com app. Make sure you like and subscribe to Show and Vern. No, anyone can close their eyes and imagine how cool it would be. And if you've ever been to a downtown ballpark, whether it's Minneapolis or Detroit, there are quite... And yeah, it is nice. But again, he even hit on it in that conversation with Fesco. It, you know, a lot of people that aren't going to necessarily obviously benefit from it are going to have to pay for that stadium. I don't think that he is willing to take on convincing Johnson County and countless other counties to pony up the tax to bring something to downtown Jackson County.
Just like people didn't think it was going to happen with the Sprint Center and with the Power and Light District. And there were people who had reservations about that. And I think, as I said earlier, I think the reservations was our city coming to another level. And I think once we see what it did, it took you to another place. And I think this is in progress. And that's why I think it is – I totally agree with you, man. The crime rate – those are things that are pressing. But I think progress is a number one thing that a lot of people in office want to do, and I think this goes right along with it.
I'm all for it, but I'm also about perspective. And I have a feeling that when Quentin Lucas walked out of that interview with Fesco or left the studio with the guys on the drive, he was like, well, that was easy because all we did was talk about some hypothetical downtown stadium that I'll never really have to deal with over these 8 years. He's hoping for 8 years. I just feel like that is the most benign conversation that he's going to have because it's not something that is really going to gain enough steam over the next 8 years to trump everything else that will ultimately be on his desk.
We'll see. That could very well be a possibility that maybe this is not anything that is going to be of importance right away. I, however, hope it is.
Protein House, Eat With A Purpose, text line 69306. Again, you will not have a chance to win Toy Story 4 tickets at 5 o'clock.
I don't know when they'll be doing that.
Because Cody Tapp is on at 4:30 to get you ready for the finale as the Royals look to win 4 games in a row for the first time this season.
Speaking of, we had Fesco on yesterday, and he was saying to himself, like, if I had to pick a player that I'd like to really, you know, obscure, not obscure, but a player that's not one of the guys you feel like one of the dominant players, I had to pick one player that says, you know what, I want this player to pop. I want us to look at this player and think, bam, he is going to make a real change. For him, it was Breland Speaks. And many people on the text line said the same thing. And many people, I thought, brought up really good and smart points of, hey, think about the coaching staff that he had. Think about him playing out of position. Think about they may have drafted him to be playing in this year's 4-3 as opposed to the 3-4 last year. Maybe you are being unfair to Breland Speaks. And I don't think I am. I really don't think I am. He wasn't productive at Ole Miss, not to that rate, not a difference maker. He was like a guy at Ole Miss. What we remember him, he just happening to be in the area of recovering a fumble or two in which he smiled and waved at the camera. He didn't force it, much like we saw him this year. I don't see him as being as someone like a Dee Ford or Chris Jones who had dominant spurts in college that you could look to. And last year, he didn't show anything to make you think, like, man, this is – and I understand it shouldn't be fair to understand the coaching and maybe he wasn't in the right positions, but I don't think that – I don't think it's unfair that I don't give him that claim or that he can sit with the, well, maybe it wasn't fair. Because I do feel like maybe Treverius Ward and Tony Hitchens are guys who were – whose play was influenced by Bob Sutton and the others. But when I especially look at the way he walked in this year, into the offseason, coming into a year where you would have expectations, hey, man, this is a year where we're depending on you. We traded Justin Houston away. We traded Dee Ford away. We brought in an Alex Okafor, but this is a place you're the number two. You're our first pick last year, second round pick. We want you to come in here and battle for a starting job. And now the way you came in here looking with your weight, we don't even know what position you play. I don't think that he falls into the category, and I don't think I'm being unfair not to put him in the category that you would put Treverius Ward and Anthony Hitchens, because I think what he's given us.
Treverius Ward has shown you something. You've seen him make plays where you go, oh, okay, that's an athlete out there using his football instincts to make a play. We've seen that from Anthony Hitchens. I think you're being unfair when it comes to what Breland Speaks can be in 2019. Look, your assessment of what he was last year, which was just a guy out there that happened to be in the right place at the right times on occasions, that's fair. Judging his collegiate career, that's fair. But it sounds as if you're putting too thick a ceiling on what he can be in 2019. Look. Chris Jones showed you something in college. You would see flashes. His size was intimidating right out of the gate. So I'm not saying he's going to make that kind of a jump as he enters his age 23 season, talking about Breland Speaks. So, no, a 10-sack season, that to me is an unreal expectation. But Breland Speaks being something more than just a guy, someone, like, let me put it this way. I think you should allow Breland Speaks to at least prove to you that at the age of 23, he can or cannot be a contributor, a starter, a guy that's going to be out there a majority of the snaps. The way that you're describing what he did last year is fair, but to act like that's automatically going to be the same guy in 2019, no, I don't think that's fair. I think he is given somewhat of a clean slate. You understand what he's been. You understand what he could be. You don't get out of control with your expectations or your projections. But with the new coaching staff, with maybe heightened expectations for himself, let's see what he does this year. And then you got 2 years of him playing a lot. We can make some sort of a judgment. But the kid's 23.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's got a chance to break out of this shell.
I'm not putting a ceiling on what he can do next year. I'm just telling you, unlike players like Anthony Hitchens, unlike players like Charvarius Ward or other guys on the defense, I don't just put on him that, man, maybe it's just because of the scheme he was playing in last year, or maybe it's just because of the coaching, the way that I do with other guys. I don't see it that way with him because I'm not saying he can't be much better next year, that he can't have 6-7 sacks next year and be somebody who could play. But I don't use the excuse for him or the explanation, as you would say, the explanation that, hey, it's just because of the coach. It's because of the scheme. No, man, he's shown time and time, man, like the shape that he came in this year was absolutely absurd for what he would be going into an all-in year and a big year for you. I don't think it's just the coach. I don't know if it was any system that we would be seeing anything differently.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Listener 22 says, I wonder if the new mayor gets it on with Show's voice in the background. Listener 00, can I get a quick shout-out for the Bonner Springs Police Department that just gave me a speeding ticket as I was going 5 over? Sounds like a Mizzou fan. right there.
Somebody had to do what they got to do.
Oh, you were going five over. You were breaking the law. You're allowed to get a ticket for that.
You're allowed to.
Just like Mizzou.
How hot would you be if you got that ticket?
Springfield, Illinois. I got it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, right? Still haven't recovered from that, have you?
No, I paid it off and you move on.
Those sons of...
Every once in a... Look, you speed all the time. You're going to get caught every once in a while. You can't make a big deal about it.
I've gotten a lot of tickets in Iowa.
Why do you go to Iowa? I've never heard you tell me you're going to Iowa.
What the hell are you doing in Iowa?
What is going on in Iowa?
I know some people in Iowa.
What part of Iowa do you hit? Council Bluff? Des Moines? Iowa City?
The Money Shot.
Let's finish this thing with a bang. The Money Shot brought to you by Broadway Deli. A mostly Jewish deli for... A mostly not Jewish city is now open in the Crossroads and is an official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Big Vern, finish them off.
Garrick Dieter, this is not the way to get even with Patrick Mahomes. We see on Instagram yesterday, Garrick Dieter working out with Tyreek Hill. Garrick, you're not going to make him jealous. I know Pat's been gallivanting around with Travis Kelce. You feel like, oh, I'm losing my best friend. This is not the way
to
go.
So he's hitching his wagons to Tyreek?
I feel like that's the only way to get Pat's attention right now.
No, I think this has all to do with Pat. If I'm just spitballing and guessing here, I think this is the way Pat communicates with Tyreek Hill.
Why wouldn't Pat just text Tyreek?
Because he didn't want that. That could be traced right now.
By who?
You don't know.
Oh, his girlfriend doesn't care if he reaches out to
Tyreek. I'm just telling you, I think he's sending GD... 12 to talk to him through him.
No. To me, Garrick Dieter.
I think that's what it is.
Angry that he didn't get the invite to the Blues game or to Texas Tech's loss to Michigan in the College World Series, and he says, "All right, you know what? I'll show you."
No. He doesn't get to get angry.
Tyreek Hill.
He can get angry, but he doesn't get to express it. And why would you get your wagon?
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.